Yes, hello and welcome to Get 'Em Onside as we launch into Magic Round, Round 10, Sean the Trader. And I can say this, that we are getting a little bit cold now. We're heading towards winter. But one of us who isn't here is sitting there in 29 degrees.
Lucky for some, eh?
Yeah, the great Dan Ganane is pleased to join us. G'day, mate.
So muggy in Cairns. I'm being bitten alive. Hello, everybody.
What's your shirt again?
Yes, I'm from my hotel. Very agraeci.
I quali.
Very good.
This was
shorts.
The plan. Can I show you? Linen. This was the plan shot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
The background. Now, have a look at that.
Wow.
Unfortunately, because the sun's sort of behind, you wouldn't be able to see my face. So you've got the the background of the wonderful wall here at the Cairns Casino. But it's lovely to be here. The internet connection is good, so I didn't have to go and do the TAB like Matt Damon.
There's
so
Dan
that's
in the
what
background.
We're paying our massive cut of TAB. Every time you put a bet on and 14% goes to the TAB, that's where it goes. Good internet. Well, it's good to know.
Yes. Now, gentlemen, what's making headlines? Well, let's start with this. This is quite bizarre, Dan. The Parramatta bubble where this is what I find intriguing about this is Jacob Arthur with a K. Jacob Arthur has been out of the bubble. And he's been back in the bubble, but he's been living with his dad, which is the coach in the first grade bubble the whole time. So this is quite bizarre.
I'm out bubbled. Yeah. You completely lost me. I haven't really been on across what happened last week. So they played their – every other club was told to pull their reserve grade players out.
Yes.
Was that the guidelines? And Parramatta didn't.
Well, they've played reserve grade, so they've left the top bubble. Now, the other part of this, Dan, I don't know if you're on top of this part of the story. However, he now can't play because you can't take a player outside your top 30 until after round 11. So they've been decimated with both injury and suspension, and all of a sudden Jacob Arthur has to renegotiate with Parramatta. So this is quite intriguing because a player is negotiating with the club where they have the coach. So he's got to make himself into the top 30 by the end of the week. Otherwise, he's not playing at Magic Round. How do you see this?
Son, you sign the minimum deal. Otherwise, you're doing the washing up for the rest of the year. Listen, can we just say what it is? The bubble has been a joke the last couple of weeks. And I'm not sure it has been adhered to anywhere near as...
Oh,
he's freezing.
Cairns Casino.
Cairns
Casino.
Can
we sit him down to a tab where there's actually decent Wi-Fi?
Yeah, the Cairns Casino. Well, let's move on. Stay on Parramatta here for the moment, Shawnee. Dylan Brown, what do you make of all of this? So out of all of this, Dave Fafita has had a little slap to the face of Adam Dewey. He's copped 2 weeks. Dylan Brown, who's basically ended the season for Drew Hutchison, or so it appears, he's got 3 weeks. How do you make sense of any of this?
It's a debacle. I don't know what else you can call it. And Robbo was pretty scathing in the press conference after the match. I was actually more annoyed at the lack of anything when Teddy got absolutely floored by Nick Corey. It was a shoulder charge, a clearer shoulder charge you'll ever see, almost an elbow as well. Was that a retro penalty as well? Did they go to the bunker and penalise that? And then there was some... I even read that Nick Politis, and I don't know how true this is because you don't believe everything on Twitter.
Yeah.
He actually,
oh, you don't?
No, funny enough.
Right.
He made a call at halftime to blow up about the lack of penalty, and that's why it was all reviewed. And it's just been a shit show. You can't really call it anything else than what it is. Complete debacle.
He's back, the great man. Now, Dan, you and your white linen shorts, can I ask you this? Why can't we? We've got the technology these days. What would you be your position on this as far as the whole world knew within about 3 minutes that Dylan Brown was going to be charged or very likely to be charged, right? Why can't we just get it right? So I don't care if it's 8-10 minutes later, we say, you know what, review this, highly likely that Dylan Brown's going to be charged. He's getting 10 in the bin, which therefore would have been bringing Suwali into the game if they so wish.
Yep.
What do you think about that? Even if it's belated to be allowed to...
They were gifted, Joel, this scenario in that it happened right on half-time, so they could have reviewed. The Politis thing wouldn't shock me. I think he has Volandi's one on his speed dial. People have speed dial anymore. So it wouldn't shock me. It was all very bizarre. It was all very bizarre because don't forget there was a kick at goal. So there was time from the incident to the time the goal was kicked to when they came off. So it's not as if this was all helter-skelter. They had time initially and it was very obvious that he was going to get time. And I thought for sure, once they said he's on report, I got the message in my ear, right, just before they came out. And I thought, well, for sure, before they kick off, he's going to get sent to 10. Because everyone knows now, Hutchison's out, and it's going to trigger the 18th man. It felt like a bit of stubbornness that they didn't go that way. And in fact, I would say this, because it happened in the first week of this with the new interpretation that foul play can trigger the 18th man, but they've got to go for 10 minutes. And we had a clear reportable offence that knocked a player out. It was Gold Coast versus Newcastle. I think Phillip's Army was knocked out. But they didn't trigger the 10. If they're going to not have the cojones to send blokes off for 10 minutes, they're going to have to change that rule, tweak it, so any reportable offence means that an 18th man can be triggered. Because that's the disparity in the rule right now. And I thought Trent Robertson was wonderfully mild on Friday night. I was hoping for a massive blow-up because I thought he had every right. I thought the refs cost the Roosters at least a chance at that game.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they were down to, what, 6 points, 7 points, or whatever it was at the death was a miracle. In fact, I got accused of being biased towards them. Now, I mean, that's the thing. When you get accused of being biased towards the Roosters, but I was just cheering for the underdog, and I thought it was a miracle. Parramatta should have won that by 20 or 30, but anyway, that's by the by. But I think we're nearly there with the 18th man rule, but if they're not going to send blokes for 10, you've got to pull it back and allow for reportable offences and take the risk that occasionally it might be rewarded.
What made it worse for me is that during his review of the previous round, Graham Annesley came out and said they're going to be even stricter with it, and we're going to see more players go to the bin. He might have been referencing the blatant 10-metre infringements as well, but whenever you hear that, you generally see a bit of a knee jerk. And when I saw both of those, and I wonder if we didn't see the Niokore shoulder charge, would it have been easier for them just to focus on that one kick by Dylan Brown? I think they had just too much going on at the time. Because little has been made about that. As I said, I was more annoyed about that. That was a clear 10 for me. And we didn't see anything. So it was a bit, as I said, it was a shit show.
Hey, boys, what about just a little ideas committee one? And this might be too hard, Basket, but I had a thought about 60% of the six to go restarts are within the first two tackles for obvious reasons. We know what the coaches are doing. They're slowing them down. How about this, where the referee holds it back to the third tackle? So go for your life on plays one or two, but then we're gonna slug you anyway. What do you think about that? Or do you just feel like bring out the penalty?
Why don't they just use feel and bring out the penalty for tackles one and two?
Yeah.
That's very, very, it's very obvious. When a team's 20 out from their own line, they would rather a penalty than an extra tackle.
Correct.
So give them a penalty, and that'll stop it straight away. And you know what? It pisses me off when the NRL puts out those emails on the Wednesday, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and then they don't do it. I mean, they've created a rod for their own back by sending out this directive, which they don't then follow up. I mean, they did everything the opposite of what that email said in that Friday night game. But it's very simple. And you've only got to do it. You do it the Thursday night game, or the first Friday night game this time. And that sends a message to everyone. This is the way it's going to be. And the problem is solved. We don't have to have these big ideas committee meetings. Sorry to steal your term, Joel. But honestly, game one. Remember the old days it used to be that way? Friday night football, if something was going to change, Bill Harrigan ruined a game once. He blew about 25 penalties. It was Penrith and Parramatta. It was to set a new standard about something. It might have been the ruck play. And you know what? Whatever the desired result occurred straight away. So just do it. The first Thursday night game, bang, and that's it.
And the whole round know it's coming up. Hooked halfbacks, Dan. We saw Kyle Flanagan. Now, we won't go into the press conference part of it, but he was hooked, Kyle Flanagan. Well, we've all seen it. We've all heard it.
What are they doing? Canterbury are one of the most obstinate clubs when it comes to putting up talent. I mean, I looked at my email yesterday or the day before. First name Christian Crichton was available for chat. Christian Crichton, he hasn't played a game this year. I'll give him a rap. They put Adam Elliott up when he was in trouble a few weeks ago. But what are you doing putting a kid in harm's way? Clearly, he is not cool with that decision.
Well, apparently, Dan has come out. Webby was talking today, and it has come out that they had a lengthy chat with Kyle Flanagan about whether he wanted to go and be presented. And apparently, he said he did want to do it. So
when he walked out, he did have a big. He was actually. It looked like he was carrying himself quite well, and he was prepared to face the music. But then it all. And it was when he. Is when he, his old man was mentioned. That's when the.
That's right.
When you talk about family, you know. Obviously, you get a bit emotional. But yeah, it's yeah.
But Dan, if they, I felt the same way as you initially, but if they've gone to him and the media manager at the time doesn't know that he has been dropped, which is an issue in itself as far as communication is concerned, but if they go to him and say, you know, like after the week and being hooked, do you actually want to go and present to the media? And he was adamant he did. There's not a lot more the club can do, is there?
They've got to come over the top and say, this is not a good idea. And you roll out.
Immediate. I mean, by the time he presented to the media, it was obviously the media knew he'd been dropped. So that's it. You pull him out and you put in Brandon Wakeham. He's the story. Hmm. Okay, Brandon Wakeham gets another crack. You put him up in front. Now, I don't know if it's a desperation to have the background behind. What you're saying doesn't surprise me that there is a mass lack of communication. I would have thought that in the Des Hasler days, not so much in the Trent Barrett era, but the media manager wouldn't actually know who's in the team. But that was really unnecessary from Canterbury. The kid has suffered enough, and I think he deserved to get dropped, by the way, but he didn't deserve to be, you know, a lamb of the slaughter yesterday. Come on, Canterbury.
Fair enough there. Just on Chad Townsend now, Dan. They've got Chad Townsend, Braden Trindle, Matt Moylan, Sean Johnson, Connor Tracy, who I think could easily play in the halves. Look, it's a business. Why are they still spending money on Chad Townsend? The Cowboys clearly want them. Jake Clifford is clearly wanted by the Newcastle Knights. Why don't we see this happen now?
I don't know. It's a good question. Because I think Cronulla would want to be quite happy to part ways with Townsend. It's a good question. I don't know. I suppose the Cowboys are still in the mix for top eight. So Clifford's actually been going all right, hasn't he, the last couple of weeks?
Well, he has, but their intention is for at least 3 years to have Chad Townsend, so they clearly have...
I'm shocked that Chad's still in this team, regardless of if he was going elsewhere or not. I honestly thought as soon as Johnson was back, we know Moylan had some injury concerns as well, I thought he'd be out straight away and that'd be a straight swap. I said it a month ago maybe that I thought they were just carrying him until Johnson was available. I don't know why he's in there. It doesn't make that team better.
So I have this triangle idea where Chad goes up to Townsville, becomes Chad Townsville. Then we see Clifford goes to Newcastle, and then Newcastle give the Sharks a big outside back, whether it's Heimel Hunt, Edric Lee, whoever it is for the rest of the year, because that's what they need. Connor Tracy is being rewarded on great performance, but boys, he's not a winger. These day and age of the small winger is gone. Unless you can, you know, break 10 and a half seconds for the 100, it's absolutely gone. But anyway, speaking about getting stuck into people, now I need to call out this person on Twitter, which I don't even know if it's actually this person, but they go by the alias of Mr. Ives. Now, Mr. Ives is reporting that there was one tip that I gave that went pear-shaped, which I've never met a tipper who's been 100%.
You going to load the gun here?
No.
Feels a bit.
No. So just repeating the results from last week. Dan, you've been on fire, 6 out of 8. Absolutely on fire.
Airborne.
I, opposite Joel and normal Joel, had a draw for all, and then Shawnee, you're under the pump like me. So our model is clearly out of whack when it comes to the line. However, our best bets, gentlemen, as a collective, which is scored by the independent Jarve, are running at plus 88%. So if you had a dollar on every best bet between myself, fine. Dan and Sean...
What's he said to you? What's
plus 88%.
Don't
he believes that I get paid to send out shonky tips.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that before.
Well, if that's the case, Mr. Ives, I'm doing a very poor job because I'm personally running at plus 138%. No, but Dan, seriously, plus 138%, Mr. Ives. If I'm paid to give bad tips, I'm doing a very, very bad job. But anyway, time to do this.
I'm doing a very good job.
No, Joel.
Yes, Daniel?
We need an intervention here, Sean. We need an intervention.
Yeah, I agree.
Joel wants to be liked by everyone. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But you don't go to social media to be liked by everyone.
No, but I don't want my credibility challenge.
But you've been in the game.
Well, clearly,
Mr. Ives has
had a punt on you. What was your bet? What was the one that let him down?
I forget what it was, but it was clearly wrong. It was clearly wrong.
Something.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I would say, Joel, if you're going to take it this way, mate, the stuff I copped on Friday night, I actually thought was quite funny. Mm. And I engaged with someone who really wanted to go toe-to-toe. Again, saying, mate, I'm a Parramatta fan, I'm offended. And I explained, mate, if you can't get excited about a team who was busted and had no right to win that game. Anyway, it actually was quite pleasant. So you've got to learn how to deal with these people, Joel. You can't throw your toys out of the cot because
they're
random.
But that's the one thing
people.
That gets me. When people say that you get paid to throw dead balls out there, I can tell you my whole time at Sportsbet, Dan, I've never been instructed to give a tip, and I always give the tip in which I believe. But anyway, that is
everyone,
that.
When Joel is wrong, just take it. It's not sabotage. It's a shit tip.
That's okay? Right.
That's all.
That's right.
It's shit.
Yes. Yes, when it's wrong, it is a shiitake tip. There's no doubt about that. Righto, whilst we're all fired up, boys, let's get the little Bambi bullets in the Bambi gum and let's do this. Would you like to kick us off, Dan?
Yes, I've got a couple here. I've just been told by Suze I've got to put my laptop up, so I don't know what the issue was, but that looks much better. But now you can see my double chin. I'm just going to get my notes up here, if that's okay, because I do have a couple. I took my first Qantas flight in about 5 years this week. It's wonderful to be part of an organisation again that where its staff thinks they're better than you. So it's my fault. I got used to the happy smiles of the Virgin people. But,
what he got used to? No. What he got used to, Sean, was the happy upgrades from the great Roger Lindemann. That's what he got used to, right?
Pointy end.
Yes.
Pointy end, g'day.
Yes.
No, I've got no problem with bottom. No. It's I won't go into it because it looks like I'll be using Qantas a lot, so I don't want to get on the wrong... wrong part. Now, Kyle Flanagan, you've already taken that one, so that's good. Liz Cambage.
Oh, yes. We knew it was coming.
Now,
yes.
Comes out during the week. Now, this is my issue. Not what she was blowing up about, which was that there were Olympic promotional photos and they were all white people, which, come on. The Australian Olympic team is actually, it's quite mixed, okay? To have an all-white photo is just insane. So she's got a point there. But this is my point with Liz Cambage. She makes everything about her. Mm. Everything about her. And Andrew Bogut has pointed this out. Liz, I thinks she's a bit more important to the Australian sporting scene than she believes.
Correct.
Or than she really is. And not the simple thing would have been to point out, hey, come on, this is ridiculous. Why is the Olympic team being whitewashed? And that would be a very fair point. I was with her on that. But then to threaten, I'm not going to compete. And then the next day, here's an Instagram. I've decided I'm in.
Oh.
And with an American accent, by the way.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
she's
yeah.
been there for 5 minutes. Yep. So, you know, I'm in. I'm going, baby.
Baby.
I don't know if she was as... feminine is that the way I just displayed that? That was quite Nathan Lane from Birdcage, but again, Liz just has to make it all about her.
Oh, Liz,
win the gold, Liz. Then you are entitled to do what you do.
Liz, I'm totally with you, Dan. I could have easily went down that path. And you know the thing is, as you say, Dan, she makes some valid points, but in the manner in which she conducted herself, just making it, it's a form of bruising in many ways.
It's big. It's a huge bruising. Yeah, it's in the
leveraging off
of bruising.
The Olympics. Yep. By the way, boys, Tommy Burgess got caught bruising during the week.
Mm-hmm.
So he cut the... What did he cut? The
goatee.
The goatee, Dan. He cut the goatee. But the photo is largely... The goatee's hardly getting a start in the picture, and it's his rig that's all getting a start.
Yep.
So he's bruising off the goatee, okay?
It's better than the photo George Burgess put out there once.
Yes.
Can we stick to the same
what a dream.
Theme
hang
about... Oh, hang on. Yeah.
What a dream. Sorry, let me just finish my point, and then I'll let you go. What a dream for Tom to have that photo of George put out there. So George is the one with his piece out on camera, but of course they're twins.
Yes. Biologically identical.
The same
yes.
thing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that is good. Any other Bambies to fire away, Dano?
No, the Golden Globes. Apparently now white Hollywood has decided the Golden Globes is beneath them. I mean, they're okay with it. They're okay. And again, the point, it's the Liz Cambage point. It had been whitewashed, but they're okay with the Golden Globes when it was being rorted for years. They're okay with the white Golden Globes then when it suited them. But now Tom Cruise gives his Golden Globes back. Well, thank you, Tom. Mm. Thank you. You truly are... an example for the rest of us.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Sean, you got a...
Just quickly sticking on the same theme as making it all about them. Now, this is nothing new. It's actually off the back of the Kyle Flanagan interview, which was just... It was hard to watch. It was heart-wrenching. Seemed so emotional. But still, Danny Wilder was somehow made it about himself again. It was one of the most... truly emotional press conferences probably for a number of years that we've seen.
So, Brucing.
Brucing, again. Yeah. He is the world's best at it.
Yeah.
And I want to know, is there two Channel 9 cameras in that room?
Is there?
Yes.
Or do they run around just to get the... There's two, is there?
I'm going to defend Danny here.
Oh, no.
On this score. No, I'm going to defend on the... Not, I'm told that 9 and 7 are very close when it comes to the Sydney News ratings, right? Very close. Mm. I think 9's just a little bit ahead. But what takes them ahead? 6:45 Sport. And the way 9 has sold Danny, who is a fantastic newsbreaker, and it's the way they've done it for years, they have made their personalities the stars of the show. And this is the Channel 9 way for 30, 40 years, yarn event. Mike Willacy, Ray Martin. I'll never forget. Remember the time Ian Thorpe dove in the pool in 2004, I think it was,
yeah, jumped, at the trials. Jumped before the gun, didn't he?
Jumped in before the gun went off, and he was disqualified. And then there was the Will Craig... Was it Craig Stevens? Was that the gentleman's name? Guy from Cronulla. I think it was Craig Stevens. Will Craig Jason. Stevens give up his spot? Anyway, then they had a big press conference. This was a monster. This was one where 9, 7, 10, everyone was breaking in live at midday. This was at Homebush somewhere. Well, up rolls Ray Martin and Tracy Grimshaw, right? And this is a big room with about 200 people in it. And they go in the front row, either side of the middle aisle, and they park themselves there. Channel 9's got three cameras, bang, one on Ray, one on Tracy, one on Ian, and they turned it into their own personal interview for A Current Affair. And I actually thought, you know what? Well done, Channel 9. You've milked the star system, and of course they won the night by miles because they built it up as Tracy and Ray grill Ian Thorpe. And that's the system that they have built. And I have no problem, Sean, with Danny putting himself in the stories, right? I mean, some of the angles they have to create to get the two shots.
You cop half an earlobe sometimes and an eyebrow. Well, if you're going to do it, let's
give it his whole face. The cameraman is the real MVP. But, hey, it's a system which has worked for them, and he is their newsbreaker. So, no, I'm sorry.
I'll give him that. He's very good at breaking news, but maybe he should just stick to breaking news.
There you go. So, anyway. Sean the trader there. Now, mine, ready to go. Mine's quite personal, gentlemen. And this relates to a couple of daughters, one being mine and one being a mate's daughter. In the case of a mate's daughter, beautiful young girl, she's now found herself a job down at the Snowy Mountains, right? So she has surprised the family, which they didn't want this surprise, with a brand new dog. So the dog has been in the family for 6 weeks, and guess who's jetting off down the Snowy Mountains without said dog? Mm. So her father has been entrusted with minding the dog now. And you know what, Micah, if you're listening, which you always do, you will be the major looker-afterer of that dog for the rest of your life. It is all your problem now. So we had a little dog turn up, which, by the way, Dan, cost me an absolute fortune.
Oh, no. How much? $7,000-$8,000. That's a ridiculous price.
It costs plenty. And to be honest with you, it's about the size of your phone. It's the cutest little thing you've ever seen. And I don't usually use the term cute, but this thing is screaming cuteness. However,
they're double the price of what they were a year ago. It's the pandemic prices. And it's like Sydney real estate. Once the market goes up, it never comes back down again.
Yes. So we've had the dog for 2 weeks, and I had strict instructions to the wifey and the two eldest daughters, who were quite fired up about this dog. I said, girls, I'm the oldest of six. I've had four children of my own who are now quite independent, and I've lived in a life of chaos. It's now Joel O'Clock, and I don't need any more responsibilities. The last dog we had for 15 years, who I ultimately dearly loved, I was told I'd do nothing for that. I did absolutely everything for that dog, and I was the most heartbroken when that dog passed away, Harry, late last year. And I don't want to go through that again. I don't want that responsibility again. And if you get this dog, let it be known from the get-go that I will not be doing a single thing for this dog. Not a single thing.
Well, I've got news for you.
It's already been broken.
I've got news for you, Joel. You will be picking up dog shit for the next 10 years.
Well, I got home. I got home the other day, right? And the wifey's done a school drop-off, and then she's got some meetings. And I hear this... and I've got too much of a conscience, so I've got to let the dog out, and I want to mow the lawn. Mm. But now I can't because the dog's yelping and lonely. And so it also caused me to leave home about an hour later because I wanted to make sure someone was home to be with this dog and not be left alone by itself. So anyway, lo and behold, the wifey and the two daughters, they've got something planned for this weekend. And I said, girls, just out of interest, what's the plan with the dog? They're actually going away for the night where you couldn't take a dog. I said, what's the plan for the dog over the weekend? And they said, oh, Dad, you and the boys will be right. But it's like a brand new baby. Like, it cries overnight. You've got to train it to do all these things, make sure it's going to the toilet in the right places. And I said, no, I'm not dealing with this. Find a contingency, which I believe, which is making me feel very bad, that one of them may in fact be staying back to tend to the dog. But
you know what? Ruthless.
Well, is it?
Jeez.
Yeah.
Tough life.
So I shouldn't be...
Well, I don't
know.
How much
did you pay for this dog, Joel?
Well, I paid a lot of money not to have these problems, Dan.
No. Honestly.
You know what, Dan? I don't even know.
Over seven.
I don't even know. I honestly don't even know. It's a toy convertible, so...
I'll pay $1,500 to take it off your hands.
Oh, you want a dog?
I actually do want a dog, but I mean, I've got a little apartment. But if I can get a cut price deal...
That's your dog you're after for a little apartment. This is the one.
100%.
Yeah.
So, $1,400. Yeah. And the offer goes down every 5 minutes. $1,400 is my price right now to
Dan,
take it off
I would give it to you for $50, but it's not my... I can't give it away. So, anyway... That's our Bambies. We wrap it up. What are you doing, Danny? Are you hanging around for the tips or you got a skedaddle?
If the internet connection is okay, I'll stay.
Perfect.
I'm in no rush. So let's keep going.
Righto, quick break and we're back with more on Get 'Em On Side ahead of Magic Round where we preview all of the 8 games. Stay with us right here.
Fabian Frothers, final routine in the Rhythmic Spill Nesters. Hope you're thirsty, Australia. Change from 4 drinks, don't say that often. Taking credit for his round now. Lovely pint pirouette.
Especially on this sticky floor.
Into his trademark schooner shuffle.
Extra hops. Now serve it up, son.
Yes! All thrill and no spiller.
Another make it look easy moment from Sportsbet.
Now, there's your halftime entertainment. If Fabian Frothies is not there at halftime for Magic Round, we're not really doing Magic Round, Sean.
The bloke who Dan despises, Fabian. Yeah. Can't stand him, can you?
Oh, despise is a strong word. But if he was to turn up at half time, I would go to and get a beer from... I'll get 4 beers, actually, and hurl them at Faber. Well, he can handle them, apparently. But yes. Are you boys coming up for this?
No. I said to Sugar earlier, I've actually got a bit of FOMO. I wish I had organised something to be up there with you, but no.
Well, this sounds... Hang on. This is the corporate rort that companies like Sportsbet are crying out for. A weekend junket away. What is wrong with you people?
I'm sure there'll be a couple of people from Sportsbet up there. Oh, might not have filtered down as low as us two, perhaps.
Now, Dan, just that adds to my Bambi, in fact, that the wifey's away, and I've actually got a rare weekend of fairly quietness, right? Fair bit of quietness, which is me and the boys, which is just, I can't wait for it, you know? And so that adds to it that when you've got this nice little boys' weekend, I don't need to be minding little...
Throwing a pet cavoodle.
Little pet cavoodle things.
Right, let it go, mate.
Let it go. Okay.
1,300.
No chance. But mate, I would give it to you for $100 if I could, but I can't. Tigers take on the Knights, but what I'll do as well, obviously the regular suspects will be there, the bingo for the week, which will start on the second game because we're going to air Friday night, so the bingo will start on the second game.
Are you about to bring up the bet of the year, the Magic Round total points over under?
I knew you'd find it.
Yes, I was, Dan. So which way are you leaning?
Go on.
Oh, over by a mile.
Yep. Carnival. Carnival like atmosphere.
352 points is 44 a game, right? I don't see many games not being at least decent scoring. But then West Tigers Newcastle has 60 potential. what was another game I saw here which could have
Manly,
Warriors,
Manly
Parramatta,
Broncos? That sails over.
Manly Broncos, yeah. All you need are two big games, 40-18. And the bet's home. This is the bet I think is so obvious that it's a trap. So I'm a little careful.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's a special.
Oof, are you on the same page there?
Yeah,
By the way, Shawnee, you'd know this, and I'm just trying this out on the Sportsbet app. Are you able to, like, I've got an absolute certainty later on, which I'll share in best bets. Are you able to go the total points for the round into a try scorer, for example?
I don't think so, because they will be. Well, they're tiny bit related.
Tiny bit related.
I think that'll be switched off. But if you get on
live chat
or whatever, and the boys will price it up. BYO Sportsbet are big for that.
Okay, there you go. Right out, Dan. We start with the Tigers taking on the Knights. Yeah. 5.5 is the line. Of course, the Tigers got the cash in round three. No Kalen Ponga that day. Jacob Little, he comes in for Simpkins. People are blowing up. There's people blowing up saying, why is Dewey being moved out of the 5-8 position? Well, a lot of people tend to only have their eyes on for the attack part of things.
Attack.
The West Tigers have conceded 17 tries alone on their right edge. It is a problem, which no doubt Madge McGuire is trying to fix. So, gentlemen, where do you stand on this one? Dan, I'll start with you.
Well, you're right, and I figured that was the reason he was being moved. But he's going to defend somewhere, and he's going to be in the centres, which I think is the most vulnerable position of all. Now, if Joey Leilu is on the left, that means Adam Dewey's going to be on the right, which means Bradman Best could have an absolute picnic. I've got Bradman Best 2 tries at $8.50, or at any time try scorer $2.37. So, geez, I just can't get a read on the Tigers. And the way Madge is starting to chop and change this team is really starting to suggest he's lost.
Yep.
I don't want to say he has no idea. That's a silly thing to say, but he's almost out of ideas. He's trying anything now. Simkin, I thought Simkin has been one of their better players. Maybe he needs a break. He wasn't great last week, but few of them were. I'm changing my tip here, gents. I had Tigers in the notes I sent to you, but 5.5 is not thin enough. I can see Kalen Ponga going berserk here. They were good last week, Newcastle, when they needed to be. I think we have to put the Tigers back on that judiciary ban list that you had a few weeks ago, Joel. Until we see evidence to the contrary, I don't think we can take them for a while.
No, yeah. I don't think so either, Dan. What about this, Shawnee? Where Sini, breakout game against the Dragons, front page of the paper, cult hero, gone.
Mm, yeah. You've basically read my notes that I had for this game, Dan. I don't think the reshuffle just reeks of desperation and a last gasp effort to try and make something out of nothing. And it's not the answer. Shifting him, what, one or two spots out?
It does make a difference. He's struggling with that big body on the line. It does make a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, but now he's got Bradman Best running at him.
But it doesn't get out there as much.
Well, it does in Newcastle when Ponga's
out there.
When Ponga's out there, it does.
Yeah, and like wherever he plays, he'll be the target. So he's going to be in for every game. He's in for a long 80 minutes. Having said all that, I found this game incredibly difficult to get a read on. I'm going to lean the way of Newcastle this year. 6 from 8. Sorry. Favourites won and covered last week, and that's been the trend for the whole year.
Yeah.
It's running at something like 65% for the whole year, which is just insane. I've never seen it that high. So the market is obviously not getting these numbers big enough. That's not a trend. That's something wrong.
Yep.
So with that, I'm going to err, and that's probably why I'm going so bad, because my angle over the years has always been to side with the home underdogs, big pluses, that sort of stuff, and it's not working this year. So I'm going to lean the way of Newcastle. This has to be a high-scoring game, doesn't it? And I think they should have too many points to cover.
And I would have thought, Sean, in high, I think a lot of these are going to be high-scoring because it's Suncorp.
Yep.
Winter, good conditions, carnival atmosphere. Doesn't that mean if it's going to be high scoring, the odds are that the starts aren't going to be good enough generally across the weekend?
It would suggest that, yeah. The more points you'd see, Although this year's been so ridiculous, I'm not sure it really matters. But, yeah, I would lean towards a minus and 13 plus in what should be a high-scoring game.
Kalen Ponga, that was amazing last week, wasn't it? They had 16 points to nil, and Kalen just went kaboom and got them home. I think the same way, gentlemen. I think the Knights, minus 5.5, shouldn't be a trouble. They've just got the better pack, the bigger names, the bigger star power. I just think they've got them in most of the areas there, and I've had no luck picking the Tigers. Just on your stat as well, Sean, I'm in a tipping comp purely at the line of about 34 people, and the person who's leading it is almost exclusively every week just taking on the best team, the favourite, giving away the start, and they're absolutely cruising. We move on to Manly. So just repeating, we're on the Knights. We're all the Knights.
Yeah.
Manly taking on the Broncos. Marty Tapau is back.
Are you still Joel Costanza this week, or are you reverting?
I've had a fresh up. I'm back, yeah.
Yes.
I'm back. I'm back. So I'm on the Knights. Manly take on the Broncos. Six from their last seven, the Broncos have defeated Manly. So they've got a nice little record there at Suncorp Stadium. They've been flirting to play quite well, the Brisbane Broncos. Where do we lean here, boys? Tommy Turbo just continues to do what Tommy Turbo's been doing for a month.
Yeah, I found this one probably equally as hard to get a read on. Broncos at Suncorp are just a bit of a different team.
Yeah,
they tend to turn up. Marty Tapau back for Manly this week, I think, is huge, particularly now they've got Carrigan out as well. They've now got to start Tommy Flegler, which I don't love. And there's a few issues. Well, there's
Jersey Flegler.
Yeah, Jersey. I'm going to, similar to the last one, I made this slightly bigger than what it is, the 8.5. I don't really love taking on the Broncos at home. I've done it a couple times this year and have been burnt, but I'm going to lean the way of just Tommy Turbo, not Manly, just Tommy. In what should be a high-scoring game, I think they've can put some points on them. And so I think
this is one of your golden rules here, a home side with more than a try start.
Yeah.
You're going against it.
It's doomed from minute one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd probably look the way of the alternates, I think, rather than the minus 8.5. It looks about somewhere near being right.
Broncos for me, boys, at the plus 8.5. Manly for Sean. How do you see it, Dan?
If you could pause time, I'll tell you when I would have paused time. 20-12 Warriors Manly. And Cody Nikorima, with one of the great choke jobs, when he can't find the winger, the ball slips out of his hands. I was on the Warriors. I wish I could have paused time and called Sportsbet and put my house on Manly to win that game.
Wow.
Fortunately, I wouldn't have had time because Manly went the length of the field and scored and went berserk. And I've never known such an obvious result when a team is down by eight in the second half that Manly were going to win that game by a score. Because you just knew that all the heads went down. I'm not totally convinced by Manly, and I got a feeling Brisbane are going to give us the best of what they've got in this game. Carnival atmosphere. This will probably get the biggest crowd of the weekend, 45,000. Without confidence, I'm going to take Brisbane to cover because I think they're actually playing fairly decently. I actually thought the game last Saturday was a decent quality game. Yes, now you can get a lowest common denominator feeling with two low teams playing in a close game, but I actually thought that was a really good game. I actually think they're playing okay football, Brisbane, with Gamble at 7 and Milford at 6. Milford's not running it as much as you'd think. You'd think, well, Brisbane are going all right. Milford must be running it. He's only had 7 runs in 2 weeks, but that's by the by. My best bet's going to come from this game. Manly are notoriously slow starters. They've only led at halftime twice all year. And Brisbane are very good starters, comparatively speaking, and then they fall away. Half-time, full-time, double for me, Brisbane Manly, which we'll get to in best bets. I'll take Brisbane with the start with zero confidence.
Ooh, okay, the Broncos for Dan and I, Manly for the great fella Shawnee. We move on to the Bulldogs versus the Raiders. Boys, Hodgson is back. The drama, the noise continues around the Canberra side. However, what I saw last week against the Knights, they absolutely turned up ready to play. So I'll kick us off, boys. I think the Raiders absolutely put a score on here. They get things back on track. I know it's being sold as if there's no love in the camp and all those sorts of things. That's not what I've seen the last couple of weeks. They've just been a little bit down on confidence and been beaten. They've won their last four against the Bulldogs, and I think they'll make it five in a fine fashion. This Bulldogs team, I said to the Punters Club a while ago, I said, boys, they're $5 for the spoon. Just load up. Well, we didn't do it, and that is one of the great regrets because they are Morales. They run last, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. Well, their odds on now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, short odds on too. I thought the Raiders were going to get back in a big way last week, And at half time, I thought I was pretty smart, and then the wheels just fell off. They've scored 8 points in 4 second halves.
Yeah,
something is wrong down there. I don't know what it is. I'm not sure if it's a whole, he's lost the dressing room, all that sort of chat. I'm not sure it's quite there yet, but I know they get Hodgson back, but when he was playing, he was getting blamed for some of their problems, overplaying his hands. So I'm not sure if he's going to really turn it around. And they're without Rapp and Atapani and Sutton now as well. So they're far from full strength. And I think as bad as the Bulldogs are, and have been all year, I think the Raiders are going to have to win it tough or scrappy before they blow someone away.
Sutton, he started well last week too. When they lost Sutton and Tarpany, so they're two big outs.
Yeah, and as I said, it's big enough to... Look, you can't have confidence in the Bulldogs at whatever start you're getting. But I just think before they completely find their mojo, although the Bulldogs do have a habit of playing teams back into some sort of scoring form, I want to see them win a bit ugly. And at 15.5, I'll be on the Bulldogs.
We're the Bulldogs there. Dan, I'll go the Raiders, but how are you seeing it?
Look, I'm in one of those comps, the for and against comps. You've got to pick a game and the for and against counts, and it's double for Magic Round, and I have to have a good round. And I'm like you, Joel. I'm thinking I'm going to have to put it on Canberra here because their problems are physical and mental. It's not a case of not wanting to play. They get to 55, 60 minutes. And I think they're hitting a wall because they're old. And then you bring in the mental scars of the last month. And it's like, well, here we go again. But I just don't think Canterbury have the capacity to mount any sort of comeback. The only player in this Canterbury team that worries me, if I'm on Canberra, is Luke Thompson. He's the only player that can really change the momentum of a game. Nick Meaney at number four. He is an honest player, but in the centres. Sebastian Chris, I'd be looking at him for an any time or a double. 3 o'clock game. Is Lachlan Lewis injured? Is that the reason he's not in? Because he actually is a threat with his kicks on the goal line. It's the only thing Canterbury scared teams with. Is he hurt?
I don't know. They've got Wakeham and who's the other? Avarillo in the halves. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure, Dan, but I do agree with that. Does $3.75 Papa Lee get you interested? Does he score in this game almost one in four times?
I'll let you have that one, Joel. You can be the hero. You can make that your best bet if you like. I'll take Canberra to cover the start. I'm not as good. Front row is scoring. I don't know.
Against this team, they love it.
Maybe down the front. What do they call it now? Score through the front door.
Yep. This is where the Bulldogs let unusual try scorers score in the past. Brayley, Tui Kamakamitha, Welsh, Mitch Dunn. The list goes on. If you're an unheralded try scorer, this is the game you want to be playing in. Rightio, Dan and I, the Raiders. Shawnee, the loyal Bulldog supporter. He stays with the Doggies. Sharkies take on the Rabbitohs. Adam Reynolds is back. Andrew Fifita is back. They just look to be out of condition. Like I looked at the condition of the Panthers last week versus the Sharkies, and they just looked like a first grade team playing a reserve grade or Jersey flag side.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. I think the line's been completely put through their year, and we said it probably 2 weeks ago. We might have jumped the gun. Jumped the gun a little bit early when I wanted to be against them and they turned up. I think it was against Newcastle up there. But now, after that, I'm happy to be against them most weeks, even though... So we're seeing two teams here that didn't score last week, which I haven't seen that in my...
98-0 collectively.
Which is insane. But a huge in. A-Ray back. Even without Cam Murray and Latrell Mitchell still on the sidelines, I want to be all over South here to win by some sort of margin.
Dan, the team who's got the finals in mind and have only lost a couple of games for the year, they're the team who do have something to play for. They do have a reason to bounce back. They do have the master coach being Wayne Bennett. Surely we see it. Is game 200, though, for Sean Johnson? I don't know whether that turns the dial for you at all. But 8.0, flat 8 is the line here, which I think will only grow.
Yeah, get on now because that'll be double digits by kickoff. I don't think any of us were surprised the fact that South were touched up by Melbourne. We were all surprised it was 50-0. That was absurd. But I felt, and I think a lot of people felt, South were ready for a game like that, that they'd been playing 50, 60 minutes a game. They had all those outs. It was a yucky Thursday night. And I think we all got that tip right, actually. But I think they're back on here. It's again, the conditions they like. It's a twilight Saturday again. The good weather. Adam Reynolds is back. The forward pack still looks pretty damn good. Look, Cronulla, I feel for them in that they played Penrith last week. They played Melbourne the week before. Elsewhere, they've been right in games, so that worries me a bit. I mean, Canterbury, okay, they lost. That's inexcusable. But Newcastle, they led. Roosters, they led in Hannay's first game, 18-4. So they've still got some football there, but I can only go on what I've seen the last couple of weeks. I've got to go South here, 13+. So I've got to take South against the line. And I can't see South being that bad 2 weeks in a row, but I can see Cronulla being that bad again.
Their pack, to me, looks pedestrian. It looks slow and pedestrian, and you can't have that on the back of, you know, they do lose not having Katoa, not having Mulitalo, those bigger outside backs. I can't possibly see this. I think you're right, Dan. This will grow and grow big.
Well, just quickly, Britton Nakora missed 7 tackles last week, and again, that's the Dane Gagai side. So just Mr. Ives, if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But I'm just saying that might be a vulnerable side, and with Reynolds back and Marshall now working to the left, I can see Gagai having a good afternoon.
Yeah, okay. Roosters take on the Cowboys, and I'll tell you what, he's doing a great job, Trent Robinson, because no matter what challenge has been thrown at them, they just keep standing up and standing up. Lachie Lamb has, and despite all the injuries, they are resisting at this point to use Suwali. Do we see him play in this particular game? He's not named in the 17. Lachie Lamb and young Walker, the halves. Now, Walker has most certainly had the support of his teammates, because Nat Butcher, generally if you're making 60 or 70 tackles, you're the dummy half or you're right in the middle of the field. Nat Butcher's role last week was be security guard. He was parked next to Walker. So clearly it shows where teams are going, and Nat Butcher's clearly said, look, I'll be the guy to protect you, young fella, and he's certainly done that. Looking forward to the matchup, Kyle Felt versus Daniel Tupou. Tupou, Dan, where is he as far as keeping that left wing position for New South Wales?
Is he the incumbent?
He's the incumbent. Fox played on
he
the
won't
right.
Be there. I've actually got to put in a team this week. I've been asked. A few of us have been asked to just write a team. I had Turbo on the wing with Fox. Oh no, I don't have To'o. And I'll tell you why, because that's the Xavier Coates
yes,
wing.
The kick.
And you know in Origin, the high kick. So I can't have To'o just yet. But I do have Turbo there with Latrell and maybe Jack Whiten in the centres. But even though I'd have Jack Whiten at 6, I don't think they're going to pick him there. But anyway, that's by the by. So to answer your question, no, I don't think Tupou, although with Coates there, maybe. This game, I think the start's too big. This has to be a blowout. 11.5, the last time I saw it. Cowboys are playing some pretty decent football. I mean, very decent. They've won 4 of their last 5. Not that they've beaten much, but I certainly think they can keep this within 12. Drinkwater's playing some pretty good footy. Tamalolo's 200th. And the Roosters are a bit busted. So give me the Cowboys here. And again, this will have a big crowd feel, so I can see them hanging in there for a long time in this game.
4 of the last 5, and you'll love this, Dan. The people who were smashing me about the Cowboys finishing higher than the Raiders, they've gone very quiet, and Toddy Payton has turned things around. Thank you very much about that one. You can also, too, Dan, speaking about Origin, you can back with Sportsbet already if you think that there'll be a player who'll score a try in Origin 1, first try scorer as well. So if I go to that, to the anytime try scorer market, I'm trying to find Daniel Tupou. Because I actually think he will get picked, Daniel Tupou. I look for that, Sean, how do you see this game going?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Dan said. The line's big enough to get me interested in the Cowboys. And the Roosters don't have the luxury of this one being in Sydney. And, you know, I think that's a big factor. Cowboys can... I do think the Roosters will win. I'll be shocked if the Cowboys actually caused a real ball over and won the game. But I think Roosters 1-12 might be the angle. But I'll be on the Cowboys at the start.
I'm trying to find Daniel Tupou, $3.75. Look, he was one of their best last year, and Freddie will remember that. So I think at $3.75, I would be taking some of that for Daniel Tupou to score a try. He'll be on the left side. We know how often left-sided wingers can score in the big matches. That's how I'd be playing that. Gentlemen, I like the Cowboys as well. As a player, when you look up and you think, you know what, all those reasons and those players out, I think we're a chance of winning the game if I'm the Cowboys, and that's exactly why I'll be taking. I think they're a chance 1-12 as well at a price of $5. 11.5 for the Cowboys. I do like that. Warriors take on the Eels. All the talks around Papa Lee. Well, is this a game for Kane Evans to stand up? Murdoch Masila is back, so that's a big in for the Warriors. Mm. Whilst they had no Adam Fanua Blake, Harris Tavita was good. Aitken and Katoa there on the extended bench. So there is concern around Marnie. HIA last week, so there's enough reasons for me to think that they might be in this fight here, the Warriors. So I do like the Eels 1-12, boys, but I'll be taking the Warriors plus 7.5.
Yeah, so will I. And there's a couple of favourites. These next two favourites are about to touch on. I think they're in a...
Yes.
I think you can find a very good angle to get against both of these. I'm talking about Storm in the next game as well. With the you take out some of these really key players out of these teams. Dylan Brown, obviously. Nick Orr has been really, really good. And Marnie has to be in some doubt. I saw he trained yesterday, but that was a pretty severe knock.
So he's a major cog of that team.
Huge. Yeah, he's been amazing. And I had some doubts about him probably going into this year about how good he really was, but he's gone to another level.
You blokes laughed at me when I said he'll be in the mix for the Queensland team. He's laughed at me.
Don't know if I laughed at you. Did I? I might have laughed at you.
Yeah.
I think this is a really good game to get around the Warriors here. I'll be on them plus and head-to-head as well.
Royal Flush, Dan, you with us?
I am, but I'm just wondering, should I wait for the money to come in and for it to get to 8.5? See, if it comes in, it'll come into 6.5. Well, to me, that's not that big a deal, 6.5 to 7.5. But if it gets to 8.5, that's everything. Last five games between these two sides, Parramatta 24-18, close. Parramatta 24-22. Warriors won, 24-14. Previous game, 32-24, Parramatta. Warriors 22-10. Translation, so that's the last five. Warriors, trouble Parramatta. I know Dylan Brown's a good runner of the ball, and he's statistically not big, but they're going to lose something with him there. Oh, I've just seen an email. The Jacob Arthur contract has been ratified, so he will play. Reed Marnie, obviously, big. But I think the Warriors can at least match them or at least get close to them, even with Marnie there. Murdoch Masila is back as well.
I'd be shocked if the Warriors didn't firm up in this one with all those outs. And they were far from impressive against the really understrength Roosters team last week.
So I think 7.5 is a very... I think 7.5 is a very fair price, Sean. Mm. Very fair line. I think the next line is insulting, which we're about to get to.
Okay, so we're all going the Warriors there. Storm versus the Dragons. Kenny Bromwich is going to play dummy half here. There's no Brandon Smith. There's no Munster. There's no Harry Grant. And it was 21.5, this market. It's come into 16.5. And by the sounds of things, Dan thinks it's going to continue in a southbound manner. Ryan Pappenhausen may be back. He's been included in extended squad. This is a big in. This bloke scores every week. Ravalawa back for the Dragons after his suspension. Did I see somewhere, gentlemen, the Fox, did he dye his hair?
He's dyed his hair.
Rightio. Mm. Mark my words. And whether he's done it for charity or whatever the case may be, I got a feeling the Fox goes from scoring six to duck egg.
Oh, no.
I don't like the dyed hair position.
I like that angle. I'm shocked Bellamy actually lets him do that. Mm. It's very un-Bellamy-esque. It's very Larry.
Was it for charity?
He's picked the right week. I don't think so.
Clearly, no. He's picked the right week. He's waited until he scored six in a game and then, of course, Bellamy can't say anything.
So where are you going, Danny? Are you hinting to us that you're Dragons?
I think this has got single digits written all over it. I mean, this has got Dragons actually winning this game potentially. You've got a halves combination of Riley Jackson, Jerome Hughes. I'm not convinced Kenny Bromwich, who has played nine before, is going to be the starting hooker. I can see Tyson Smoothie starting there. But either way, Tyson can't play 80 minutes.
No.
So, now look. Pappenhausen comes in. Does that mean Nico Hines goes to six?
Yeah.
The team that is presented here is not the team that is going to run out.
No.
I've found a bet here. You want to talk about Origin? Clive Churchill, Ryan Pappenhausen, $19. Why am I saying that this week? Well, after what they did to South last week, I'm convinced now Melbourne will finish in the top two. And you know what that means. They get Amy Park first week. Amy Park, third week. I think they will have a very good chance now playing in the grand final. Ryan Pappenhausen, the reigning Clive Churchill winner, isn't he?
Yep.
$19. Get on now.
Great bet. And $6 on the day, Sean, isn't he?
Something like that. Yeah, maybe a bit bigger.
Six or seven or eight
bucks. There might be a little reverse angle that he won it last year. They'll go looking elsewhere.
Right.
But, you know, he's a superstar. I'm not going to go as far as you, Dan, and say this is insulting, but it's definitely too big with all those outs for the Storm. It's hard to be insulting against the Storm because they're just so good and they do have a habit of putting up some big, big scores. But having said all that, even if with a full strength Storm, I struggle to get it to 16.5 to make that a bet anyway, the minus. So I'll definitely be on Dragons. Like New Zealand, this is a great game to get around the underdog, even though they're going at an awful clip for the year. This is a really suitable game, I think. Away from home, it's a huge factor, even though they've got a bit of support up there. The Storm, given all the ex-Queensland players and whatnot, but I'll definitely be on the Dragons, both plus and win.
Okay, I'm not falling into the same trap as you gentlemen. It seems obvious the cheese is on the trap there and you've gone for it. This pack for the Melbourne Storm, it's next man up. They'll stand up, and that's where they're winning their games. Like the Penrith Panthers, their pack is just absolutely overgoing the other side. So I think it's a trap, and our traders haven't quite fallen for it. And that's why the line is so big. I'm tipping the Storm by 20 or more. I think the Storm will get this done, boys. Titans take on the Panthers, final game of Magic Round. If it wasn't hard enough for the Penrith Panthers, for the Titans rather, for Fifita, he gets 2 weeks. Can you believe it? He is out.
Isn't that ridiculous?
It's ridiculous.
Isn't that ridiculous?
He gets 2 weeks, Dan, and 3 weeks for Dylan Brown. So try and work that one out. Capewell failed a HIA. He's out. Momorowski can't get his way back into the 13. Jermaine Hopgood will debut there. But what about this for a stat? So the Gold Coast Titans in their last, well, pretty much their last game and three quarter, have conceded 64 points. In 9 rounds, the Panthers have conceded fewer 60 points. Mm. How can you possibly not be on the Panthers at the minus here?
Yeah, it's very, very hard to mount an argument otherwise. Yeah, I actually had the same thing written down. Six and a half points a game they're conceding.
Yeah, crazy.
It's mental. I'd be, when have we seen a defense that good?
Yeah,
and we've got a pretty big sample now. We're talking, you know, 9 games. It's no flash out of the pan, whatever the saying is. Average winning margin of 22 as well. So not only are they defending, they're putting on big numbers on the other side. It's a huge line, but the angle is I can't see where Penrith are going to let Gold Coast score from. And with you take Fifita out of that, who's a huge attacking potent weapon as well. Penrith for me.
And I speak about the diminutive outside backs. This is where you cannot put up a fight against this Penrith side. How are you seeing it, Dan?
So the thing that worries me here is the last game of the round and the ground will be emptying. So it's going to be a weird atmosphere. So I think there's going to be probably 35,000 for the afternoon game, 40,000 Melbourne St George. Maybe not so many because Munster's not playing, but my point is, by the time we get to the end of the game, it's Sunday night, it's a school night. There's probably going to be 10,000 left in the ground. So that's going to be weird. The people are going to be exiting. It's going to be a strange atmosphere. But in saying that, I sent in my tip earlier at Gold Coast to cover because I just thought 20 was too many. But I look at – they've had the softest run, Gold Coast. They have not played – they've played one team seventh or above all year, South, and lost 40-30. The defensive deficiencies are obvious. Mm-hmm. I have to take Penrith here, and I think I'm going to have to take them in the for and against comp as well, because they can be poor in attack for them and win this 38-6. I've got to take them here. 26-27, by the way. It's a phenomenal record. But what about the defence? Best defence after 9 rounds since 1963.
Wow.
So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, St George 1963. And Gold Coast, when they meet good defences, really struggle to score points. Three times this year they've been kept to 6 or under. It's feast or famine. I think they average about 37 in the other games, but they average 3 in games where the defence is up to scratch. So, give me Penrith.
Okie dokie. We're all the Panthers there to lap them, so to speak. And boys, it reminds me of, I remember years ago, where the paper had us getting Tigers against the Broncos, getting something like 16 and a half start, which was huge, you know. Mm. And I thought it was huge until you run out there, and I think it was QE2 Stadium at the time, and then you see Thorne, Webke, Sivanaseva, Saylor, Takiri, Walters, and then you think, oh, the 16 and a half is quite small. Yep. That might be the case for the Gold Coast Titans as well. Well, that wraps up all the selections, but stay with us right here because after the break, it's our best bets, which, as I said, plus 88% so far this year. If you want to hear those, stick around, including you, Mr. Ives.
Get that up, you, Mr. Ives.
Another Thursday, same focus, same commitment. What you see on TV comes from elite average work down the driveway. Morning, Edna. So when I want to place a fast and easy same game multi, I use Sportsbet. More markets, more offers, and bigger odds. I'm Gary Flynn, wheelie bin champion, and I make it look easy with Sportsbet.
Gazza Flynn at his royal best there. Time to do the best bets, boys. So time for this. Rightio, Dan, you're up there in sunny Cairns, just basking away. I just checked, it's about 29 degrees, so you're and creeping up, by the way. So get your sunscreen on, ready to go.
More. No sunscreen. Well, yes, sunscreen, kids, sunscreen.
Yes.
But a winter tan.
He's got coconut oil written all over him, hasn't he?
100%.
Now, unlike Joel, who, you know, sabotages and throws out dud tips, I actually put my money where my mouth is.
Right.
So there, can you see that? There's my best bets.
Right.
Right. Brisbane Manly. I can't get...
Yeah.
Brisbane Manly, halftime, full-time. Sebastian Chris, a double.
You had $1,000 on
Dane
that, Dan.
Dane Gagai. Yeah. No, I made a money. No, that's just a mark. I'm just waiting for some money to come in.
Right.
But 665-1 on the power play for all three to get up. I don't think that's going to happen, but... Right, please. 665-1. That's about 663-1. Too many for the Wolf to tip.
Yeah.
But any one of those three will do. Gagai double, Chris a double. But I'll take Brisbane halftime, Manly full time, because I think in the big crowd, Brisbane are going to turn up.
Yep.
But Manly with Turbo might just have too many guns.
I love the rationale. Shawnee boy.
Love it. Yeah, we alluded to this earlier in the week, early in the podcast. Sorry, I think we're all aligned. South 13 plus. For me, I think he's a cracking bet this week. I struggled to land on one because I really think the Warriors and the Dragons are cracking bets also this week. But I'm going to settle with South 13 plus. You're getting around $2.40. I'd be shocked if that didn't firm up.
Okay. Now, you're talking about the best defence. It's 1960, did you say, Dan?
Yeah, 63, St George, the great team.
Okay. Well, the team that I remember as a benchmark, they had...
Manly 96.
Yes. Now, Manly 96, what I find interesting about this, so they only conceded about 191 points all year, and I know that because David Waite just reminded us all year, 96, 97 rather, we've got to get this defence down. Well, after three rounds, they conceded 46. After three rounds, they had conceded 46, and then it was just lockdown mode. So the run rate has Manly 96 at 76 points after nine rounds, including the 46 points in the first three rounds. Ahead of the current Penrith side at 60. Best bet, I stay with the Panthers because it is magic round. And what I've worked out this year, gentlemen, is you want to be outside those gun big back rowers. So your Papa Leahy's, your Kickows, your David Fifita's. It's like, look at us. Magic trick, Burton scores. Just keep backing Matty Burton. $2, please. Ooh, I'll be all over that. Yes. So there you go. That's about us, Dan. Enjoy get your coconut oil out and your white linen shorts and get yourself beachside.
I'm looking here at Penrith, pick your own line here. Pick your own line. Mm. That into Cronulla, South 13 plus. Oh! I'll see you next week.
Hey, Dan, we appreciate you. Now, Dan was committed to hanging around for about 20 minutes, but he's such the soldier and he hung on for the whole show. So we do appreciate that, Dan.
Well, I mean, the internet connection was good, so just one more. Just if you want to feel jealous.
Piss off.
I mean, have a look at that. I mean, I'm not going anywhere near that water, but, I mean, that's that's a view.
You could get your shirt off and then just say, what a magical view, and do your own brucing.
Now, let's not hide the fact that you're not going to be here anymore. You're not going to be here next week. You're off to Mexico.
Mm.
I won't bring the coronas, Karen. Don't worry. I won't do that again. But Yeah, off to Mexico, hey? Always dodgy, those trips, but enjoy.
All right. Thank you very much, Dan. Thank you to our viewers and those listening via the podcast as well. Thank you, Shawnee. Thank you. Suze, Wayno, who stepped up to the plate, and, of course, Alex. Until next time, get them on side, and most importantly, gamble responsibly.